Hello and welcome to the Total Football Soccer Show, Richmond's first, only, and therefore best soccer talk show. I'm Taylor, and we've got a full studio this week as we've got Josh.
Hey, everyone.
Albert.
Hello.
And, drum roll, I guess I should do the drum roll, making his triumphant return back, we've got Mr. Daryl Grove. Daryl, welcome home.
Hello, thanks.
Is this home, I guess? I don't know. Is it England or USA home at this point?
Both. I've got two homes.
Okay, fair enough. But
until the first day of the World Cup.
And then you can point for USA? You know, I heard on another podcast that they're making stab-proof vests to wear to South Africa.
Yeah,
that
protective
vests.
Yeah, that you can have like decorated in your team's colors
flag.
And like that. So I think that's how I'm going to show up on that Saturday when we watch that game together, just in case you get a little too angry when we beat you.
In case I get a little stubby.
Yeah. but you've chosen a good week to come back because we're pretty much talking about American soccer this week and the development thereof. So to kick it off, I'm going to ask you guys, who is your favorite player developed domestically, and then who's your favorite player developed abroad?
Domestically, I have to go with Brian McBride. I mean, first of all, he's probably my favorite American player ever, so therefore favorite player ever. Mm-hmm. And then I just, didn't really follow him in college, but once he got to the MLS, it was just real fun to watch him in his early progressions as he was more of an aerial person, not quite as dominant as a ball winner. Mm-hmm. And then he just kept getting better and better at everything.
There you go. All right. Albert, you?
Domestically, I would have to say Eddie Pope. He was a part of the 1996 inaugural champions at DC United, and from there on, I just loved him, and he was a stalwart for the U.S. men's national team.
I'm going to say Michael Bradley.
Oh.
Probably people don't think of him as being developed here because he spent most of his career in Europe, but he did 2 years at the Metro Stars, playing for his dad, I think.
Yeah.
Shocking. Again.
Shocking that he played for his dad.
Yeah. He keeps fouling those purse strings.
But to me, that's the right way to do it. I think for American players is to spend a couple of years in MLS and then move abroad while you're still young, and then you got both experiences.
Well, I'm going to ride your coattails on that one because my choice would be Clint Dempsey, or affectionately known as Deucey. Again, watch his YouTube video. It's outstanding. but I like him for more than that, obviously. He played really well for the New England Revolution. He was sought after by a couple premiership teams, but he eventually went over to Fulham. And he's flourished there. I'd say he's maybe one of their better players that they have now. He scored some good goals. So I'll take Deucey when it comes to domestic. But what about international, if you guys are looking at players that developed abroad?
International, I'm going to go with Jaden Merritt. I know his whole college career was in America, which is kind of you're bringing up. But then he went immediately over to Europe because he wasn't even drafted by the MLS. And I just love his story.
Yeah, he got picked up like a pub team.
He got picked up by a ninth division English team.
So not quite a pub team, but a non-league team.
Fair enough. Okay. So they're not sponsored by like a pub or anything like that.
No.
All right, good to know.
But it's kind of worrying that Demerit wasn't
just not even
drafted.
Looked at.
Yeah, you think someone would have recognized his talent? Because the thing is, when he went to England, he didn't spend too long with the non-league teams before.
No, he spent 1 year and then went to a seventh division team where they scrimmaged Watford, and they immediately picked him up for a trial.
Yeah, so someone spotted him.
Yeah.
And whereas no one spotted him.
Well done,
MLS.
U.S. scouting.
Yeah.
Well done.
That's a little worrying.
Yeah, a little bit, and I think we'll probably hit on that one later on.
All right.
What about you, Albert?
I'm going to go a little bit in the Wayback Machine. And for me, it's Peter Vermes, who played on the 1990 World Cup team and the 1988 Olympic team. And he went to Rutgers. And after Rutgers, he went over immediately and played in Hungary and then Holland. Came back for a brief stint with an American team for like 3 or 4 games and went over to Spain where he played for 5 years before he came back to MLS. And the great thing about him is that he kind of started bridging that gap for American players. He went over to Europe and he did well enough so other European teams were willing to take chances on American players.
Yeah, I think Daryl and I had like a similar conversation than what we're having now a couple episodes ago. And I think that was kind of your argument for why you like John Harkes, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was one of the guys that made me realize that Americans could play soccer at a high level.
Besides the three of us sitting in this
room.
Well,
but I hadn't met you guys.
Of course. So what about you, if we're looking at international players?
Yeah, I'm going to get in the Wayback Machine as well. and for a similar reason to John Harkes, Claudio Reyna.
No, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
For the same reason. I mean, he started his career before MLS. MLS was 96, right?
96.
So Reyna started in 94. When he finished at UVA, he went to Leverkusen, it says on my piece of paper. He went first to Bayer Leverkusen, then to Wolfsburg, then to Rangers, then to Sunderland, then to Man City, and everywhere he went he sort of improved the reputation of American players. So in the same way John Harkes is one of those guys that made people realize Americans could play.
Yeah, for me, Claudio Reyna was a guy that like you kind of always knew he was there. Like if you're looking for an example of, you know, if you're the little kid trying to play soccer, he was kind of like the example of I can go play too. And then there were other guys, I guess, that maybe flew under the radar, at least for me they did, and that's why mine is going to be John O'Brien. Because I really had no idea who he was until the 2002 World Cup, when all of a sudden, here's this guy who's playing amazing in the center of midfield for the USA, and he was a big part of why we advanced as far as we did. Mm-hmm. And he's, I believe he went over as a teenager and trained with Ajax, and he was trained in the Dutch system, and I think that that was a strong part. And
yeah, to get picked up by that Ajax youth system, I mean, they didn't accept anyone. You've got to be special.
Mm-hmm. But I do think that the differences in the players we're talking about is interesting, because like yours was Claudio Reyna. He finished all four of his years at UVA, and then he went abroad. John O'Brien may have been picked up as a teenager. And so I think it's important when we're looking at development to point out the differences between youth development and maybe like older age, like maybe Jay Demerit, who went abroad. Yeah. So if you're looking domestically with players developing, what would you say are the benefits of staying in the United States, maybe playing with a club team or going to college? What would you say are the benefits of doing that?
I mean, the biggest obvious benefit is, I know we've got TV today, so you get to see everyone play, but if you're playing for a small club or for like the practice squad somewhere, as opposed to playing in an MLS team or a college team here, scouts are a lot more likely to see you here, I think.
Yeah, I think as someone who took my soccer career as far as it would go, and that meant playing Division III college soccer, the benefits of playing youth soccer here were that I got to stay at home with my parents. I had a very stable life that way. I had a normal life. I went to school, things like that. And socially, it benefited me greatly.
One more positive thing about players developing in the USA, they become part of American soccer culture. Whereas someone who like John O'Brien, went abroad when he was, 14, 15 or whatever, he was never really involved in the whole American soccer thing. And I think if you're trying to build a national soccer culture and even sort of a style of play for the national team, then it's important to have players spend at least some time in the USA.
Yeah. Do you think that's why he kind of fell off the way he did? Is because you didn't have...
No, he fell off because he's body broke.
That definitely didn't help. But I mean, like, it's not like he had the MLS to fall back on, whereas, like, you know, maybe... Like,
well, he did try. He came to Chivas and played.
Right, but Clint Dempsey made his bones here. And so, like, if he got older, you know, he could come back and people are still going to welcome him
back. I'm pretty sure he will get older.
Never.
I guess that's always the way it is. But I think it's like, let me think. Like maybe... bigger name players, like, they'll eventually go back to, you know, the club that they started with. You know, like, look at in Brazil, like, you have Fat Ronaldo playing there now.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's still doing well, but I'd say that's almost like a nostalgic thing. Like, he started there, now he's finishing there. And maybe Ducey, he can come back and play for New England, even if he's maybe not the best player for them anymore. Whereas John O'Brien, he didn't have that, and so he kind of came back. And now he's this guy who played abroad, and he came back and... you know, he didn't do much, and he doesn't kind of have that background.
Yeah, maybe I'm just that's the future for MLS, I think, is that you get these players that move abroad and make big names for themselves, and then they
come back.
They come back, and it's a big name in the league.
And I think off that point, it'd be great to have an American player come back and do that, because what you see now is you have foreign players who made their living outside, obviously, of the U.S., and then they're like, oh, I'm going to come play in the MLS for, you know, my last 3 years. Well, how great would it be when Clint Dempsey's done at the end of it all to just come back to the MLS and kind of have like a three-year swan song?
Okay, so we've seen the positives in developing domestically. What are the negatives of playing your whole career here in the USA?
Well, that means you're not good enough to go anywhere else.
Oh,
really? Wow.
Just
throwing it out there.
So no, are you disagreement here?
No, I would say that the real issue is that you're not pushing yourself. Like, and Landon Donovan's a classic example for me in that way, is that he's finally gone over to Everton and said, you know, I'm going to give it a go, but it's a loan spell. So it's a win-win for him. I think if he fails, he comes back to MLS and it's great. If he goes there and does well, then he can stay there. But, you know, for a long time, my biggest problem with him was that it seemed like he was afraid to go over to Europe because he had such an easy life here in the U.S. Well, that's all well and good, but if you're the best player on the U.S. men's national team, as I think he arguably is, I would really like to see you push yourself. And I think that's the issue. It's not maybe that you can't go abroad and play. It's that you're not willing to. And it's like a mental gap that you have to bridge yourself.
I agree. Did you want to touch on more of that? Or?
Well, yeah, just think about Donovan, like what I said earlier about players needing – it's good if they start their career in MLS like Bradley. Didn't Donovan initially
– he went over to Germany.
Had a bad experience.
Twice, actually.
Yeah, maybe that just sort of burned him. That's maybe why he's wary, because he has that bad experience.
We're also really critical of the fact like that he failed there, but you got to think, like, Landon Donovan, I believe, grew up in California. To go to Germany,
the best weather.
Like, they speak a different language. It's really cold. It's a culture you don't understand. Like, maybe we're quick to jump on him. I mean, no one is more critical of Landon Donovan than I am. Landy Cakes.
It's a nice pet name.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that there are maybe some extenuating circumstances. The point that I was going to make is, I think a lot of MLS executives and people affiliated with the MLS try to make the argument that, like, why do you need to go abroad? Like, the MLS is getting better. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're trying to dissuade people of the notion that, you know, you have to go abroad to get better because it means you're not good enough to play there.
Right.
But I think that they're still a little ways off from being able to make that point.
I think they know it too, but they're going to try and keep them because MLS still seems more concerned with their league than American soccer as a whole. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's a guy like Marcus Tracy who played at UNC, and he basically won the equivalent of the Heisman Trophy for college soccer. And
the Herman Trophy.
The Herman Trophy. There you go. See?
Well done.
Daryl, yeah. Coming back with a bang.
I was reading Wikipedia today.
There you go. Well, I was reading Sports Illustrated. That's where this one comes from. But,
I read the whole of Wikipedia.
The whole thing. Yeah.
Did that take a while?
Yeah, 10 minutes.
That English education, I guess. But he never, like, hid the fact that he didn't care about the MLS. He didn't want to play in the MLS. He wants to go abroad. I think he's going somewhere in Denmark, maybe Aalborg. Okay. But
what's his name again?
Tracy,
Marcus Tracy.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I had to check my notes again. But he was still drafted. Like, and that's the thing that blows my mind is MLS was still like, well, just in case you don't end up going, and it's like that's what they're relegated to. It's like, well, you know, we want his rights. We're going to hold on to his rights in case he comes back.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of shows you the weakness of the MLS system is that they have to like draft players that aren't even that really interested in playing, and maybe some people fall through the cracks. But I think for me, that's a big criticism.
Well, the big criticism I had was back to actually Jaden Merritt, which we mentioned. The whole RU system doesn't seem to funnel players all that well.
Yeah.
Like, it's very discombobulated if you look at all the youth teams. We don't grow up with a club, per se, or anything like that. You just kind of go to your local place, and you play for a little while, and then you might switch teams because, for whatever reason, there's no actually real good reason most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, one question I have for you guys is... I've heard a lot of people say now, it seems to be the popular thing, that when a parent says, I want my kid to play professional soccer, what's the best thing I can do? They usually say, well, don't go to college. Like, send him abroad. Send him somewhere where he doesn't go to school. Do you think that's a valid statement? I mean, we come from the American system is you play 4 years of college, then you go to your next sport. It's supposed to be like your proving ground. And now they're saying your proving ground is playing in the German second division.
Well, the argument is just games played. Just number of games, number of touches, number of reps.
Yeah, but I mean... Why can't you do that in college? Why do you have to do that in
the restrictions that college sports have?
Division I off season, you can play as much as you want. You might not have your head coach there, but from what I understand, you play a lot. But to that point, I think an interesting example of that is someone like Charlie Davies, who played for 2.5, maybe 3 years at Boston College before he went over to Scandinavia. And I mean, I don't think he really made a secret about it either, that he wanted to go abroad and play, or at least I think his father didn't make it a secret. And so I think you can kind of find a middle ground there, and that, you know, there's some things that the American game has to offer in terms of stability and being close to home that maybe, you know, a 15 to 17 year old kid, you know, I know at 15 and 17 I wasn't ever ready to go abroad without my parents, and I'm sure, you know, most of us can agree that that's to be an ocean away from your parents at that age is kind of ridiculous. So you know, it can go either way, but...
And that's the interesting thing with Dave is like you said, he left college early.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stay the whole 4 years, you're 22,
and then
you're starting professional soccer, you're way behind.
Yeah.
So maybe there's an argument that almost college soccer is not the best way for US soccer, that maybe the clubs should have actual youth teams like they do in Europe.
Yeah,
I would argue that.
Yeah, but they're starting a system now where you're rewarded. I think it's like you can sign... Three players,
Project 40 players, or is that what they're called, or no?
It's
completely different.
There's like the player development league, and there's a couple other things, but this one is like you're rewarded for having an academy by you get automatic rights to the players you bring into your academy.
Oh, so they don't have to be drafted. You can keep some of them.
Right. And then the other thing that's I guess being thrown out, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the way drafts like the NHL or Major League Baseball drafts work, but it's basically it's kind of what they're trying to do with the MLS with drafting players like Marcus Tracy is that you draft him and then you retain the rights to him. And what I believe what they don't do now, but what they should do is if you make it, you can draft anyone once they're 18. Then it's like, even if this kid goes and plays 4 years at Clemson or wherever, if he decides he wants to play in the MLS, he's yours.
That's kind of what happened with Larry Bird, not to say it's another sport, but they drafted him after his junior year at Indiana State. The Celtics did, knowing that, you know, they spent like the third or fourth pick in that draft on him. Yeah. And they were like, that's fine. Because we know we're going to get that guy. Yeah. So I think that's a great point.
And the MLS kind of has that now, but you lose the rights to him after 2 years. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you'll waste a draft pick on a guy, and then he'll go and play for, you know, 2 years and a month and then get cut by his team, and you no longer have the rights to him. So it kind of discourages you from taking those players that may end up being really good MLS players because you can't guarantee that they're going to be with you at the end of those 2 years.
The other thing you mentioned, like, should players try and go abroad and play?
Mm-hmm.
You can't necessarily do that because you need work permits and things like that. I read about Jay Demerit. Yeah. The only reason he could play in England is he had Danish citizenship.
His grandfather was Danish.
Yeah, so you've got to have some sort of European citizenship to play in Europe.
Brad Friedel had a horrendous time trying to get a work permit. Like, and that's what ended up him flip-flopping in between. Like,
Dempsey actually had some problems too.
Yeah.
That's kind of a recurring theme. The other problem I know going from the MLS, I'm going to keep blaming the MLS, honestly. I'm not going to try to hide it.
They won't sell you necessarily. Well,
the other thing is that the MLS remains a single entity system. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, and this is where I think they shoot themselves in the foot, is that it's not like, you know, Brazilian clubs or Argentinian clubs, they make their money because they develop young players, they sell them, you know, for exorbitant sums of money. Here, if New England wants to sell Dempsey for however many pounds they sold him for, that money goes back to the MLS. It doesn't go directly to the Revolution to spend it where they want.
Yeah, maybe they get a cut now.
But even so, it's not like the salary cap is any higher. It's not like, okay, well, they sold this guy for 12 million pounds. Not saying that's what they did, but it's like, it's not like that's evenly divided up and now the salary cap is this much higher. It's just like, okay, well, here's some money that you can't actually spend because you have a set limit on spending.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense to me that a player making 17 grand a year is going to want to go play for a club, even if they're in, you know, the Romanian third division. If he's making more than 17 grand, why wouldn't you want to go? Yeah. And I think it's just kind of MLS is limiting themselves because they're not allowing clubs to, you know, negotiate independently and bring in that money.
Well, Taylor, on that note, McBride actually was, they were trying to sell him 2 years before they actually sold him.
Mm-hmm.
And the bid was for 1.6 million pounds, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought they deserved at least twice as much. And 2 years later, they sold him for 1.5 million.
Outstanding. That's one story. I think Deucey did actually end up getting sold.
Deucey got four. He got the record at the time.
It's the same thing that kind of happened with Jozy Altidore. What you're saying is there were clubs that were offering a certain amount of money and MLS put a price tag on him and they didn't sell him. I mean, he ended up going for a lot of money for an American player. But it kind of seems like if you have a single entity, you're not necessarily working in the interest of the club. You're working in your own interests. You know, because Clint Dempsey was going to leave the New England Revolution. Jozy Altidore was going to leave the New York Red Bulls. So it should be that club's choice when and where and to whom and for how much money that happens. You know,
And you need to think about player development as well. Altidore, I'd say, left at the right point in his career.
He did.
Dempsey, he spent a year too long in MLS. You see he's improved since he joined Fulham.
Drastically.
He'd be a year ahead of that.
Yeah,
if he'd been allowed to go when the bid first came, and then you'd have a better player going into World Cup 2010. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say that more than anything else, that's kind of the
frustrating.
I'd say the frightening thing for a lot of players is like you don't know. You have tons of guys who go when they're 16 and 17 to Norway or Scandinavia. Scandinavia seems to be the hotbed for players
for
to
American
go.
Players.
And then if it doesn't work out, you know, that where do they go? Maybe they come back to the MLS, but they've already gone pro. So it's a questionable thing. Whereas, as Daryl points out, if you stay in the MLS for the right amount of time, maybe you get that offer. And I think it's just a really tricky issue that no one's really... Yeah. Oh, maybe a couple people have navigated, but not a whole lot.
Yeah, man, it makes it tough for the players because you're forced to gamble or stick where you are. And
mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I wanted to talk about with the American players that we've hit on, you've got your Altidores, you've got Onyewus and stuff like that, is where are these guys coming from when you look at the USA? And not necessarily like what states, but I just find it interesting that it seems like a lot of these players are born in the USA and go to other leagues. Wow, I way too quoted Bruce Springsteen there. They either go to other leagues quickly, or you're seeing like Jozy Altidore is, you know, of Haitian descent. Oguchi Onyewu is of Nigerian descent, and it seems like the USA seems to be very much embracing the idea of the cultural melting pot. And I wonder what that says. Like, is the USA having trouble developing their own athletes, and so we are getting guys who are born in Ghana or Nigeria, or is that just, you know, the way it goes?
Isn't that the way the USA is supposed to be, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what
the big lady with the thing.
That was the promise? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I would say it's not even that. It's just if they are children of immigrants or what have you, they're probably more likely to have been just bred with soccer than the kid from the Midwest that, you know, seen a couple games in his life and just was born on football instead of soccer.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and I don't mean to come off as like xenophobic or anything like that. I guess what my concern is we saw it with the 98 World Cup and David Regi. It's a guy who doesn't make the French national team, comes over maybe a couple months before the World Cup and gets you know, quick citizenship, and now he's an American citizen. Now he can play for the team.
Well, that's what Jermaine Jones is trying to do.
Exactly, and that's the kind of thing of, like, I feel like there's supposed to be this, you know, kind of national pride of, like, I grew up an American, or I'm now an American citizen. I'm proud to do it. Versus, like, you know, you're saying with some Brazilians who go and now all of a sudden they're Polish, and it's like, they're never going to get to play for Brazil.
Roger Guerrero.
Exactly. And so that's where I'm kind of, you know, nervous, is that we don't have or sometimes we don't have American players developed. It's kind of like, well, bringing this guy from Mexico, he couldn't play for them, but now he's going to play for us.
Maybe it's all just taking a bit longer than I would want it to. Till we get to that point where, yes, more kids in the U.S. play soccer than any other sport, but are they the right type of kids? You know, are they coming from an environment where they want to become professional athletes? You know, that type of thing. Are you going to get the same athletes that want to play football, basketball, baseball, you know, things like that? Are they really going to want to be pro soccer players? It doesn't seem, you know, if you're a young kid and you're trying to think about, you know, being a pro athlete in the U.S., and Chad Ochocinco actually said this. He said, you know, soccer is my first love. He said this on record, but I can make more money playing football. Mm-hmm. So when does it become worth it for kids to say, well, I'm going to go play soccer instead, you know? And it's not just for love of the game, but you got to look at it from a financial side. You'd be almost crazy as a kid in the U.S. if you're a good enough athlete to play, you know, pick 'em to pick soccer.
Yeah.
I don't know when that's going to happen, and when youth soccer in this country is going to finally bridge that gap or make that push where every kid's playing it all the time. That's why Brazil's so good. It's because every kid, and no matter where they're from, you know, what their family's like, you know, like, you have the dichotomy of a Kaká and a Ronaldo. Kaká came from a very upper middle class family, and he still played soccer. Ronaldo comes from the slums of, you know, I believe it's Rio, maybe Sao Paulo, I'm not sure. One of the larger cities in Brazil, and he's playing soccer. So where's that in the U.S.?
Yes. The other point I think that maybe you hit on quickly, when you're talking about why would people choose soccer over another sport, is, like, Daryl, I know, gets a completely different take of it, because soccer or football is probably the dominant sport in England. You know,
definitely.
I'm not going to, you know, hurt rugby and cricket's feelings. But, and so you guys get a lot more of those tabloid stories of, you know, the stuff with John Terry right now, cheating on his wife and that
allegedly.
Kind of stuff. Allegedly. I don't want John to sue the show. John, my bad. But you know, you hear a lot more of that in the papers, that it's a lot more covered. And here, what MLS player, besides Beckham and Donovan maybe, like, you don't hear those stories, whereas you hear Plastico Burris shooting himself and Tiger Woods' alleged affair. And you hear a lot more about that. And maybe that is the catalyst of a kid who would play baseball, but his parents are tired of hearing about Barry Bonds, they give him a soccer ball instead. And maybe the fact that the USA is underrepresented could end up being a strength for them.
Well, I was going to say, what I've actually heard a couple articles mention is that a lot of the soccer, or so-called soccer moms in America, are moving towards soccer because they think it's a safer sport. They think it has, which I don't get how they think that, but I think in terms of American soccer, like, they don't see all these superstars doing these ridiculous things.
Yeah.
Because they don't see the superstars, obviously, here.
Yeah.
So they're seeing it as a little caveat to, you go play this sport, we can still, like, control you and do stuff like that, which can be a downfall in the long run, obviously. But
yeah, those soccer moms need to do a Google search for Joey Barton.
Exactly.
One, like, just if you, a brief review of Joey Barton's Wikipedia page will be enough to discourage you from ever playing the sport. So please don't do that. But we're running out of time. So before we go, I wanted to ask one more question that I think it's interesting, because a lot of the players that I've looked at that are going abroad, Americans that are going abroad, if you're an older athlete, it seems like a lot of them are going to England. But it seems like a lot of younger guys are going to, like, the Scandinavia area, like a lot of Norway, a lot of Sweden, a lot of Denmark. Do you agree with that, or do you think that there are specific reasons for that, or where do you see these guys going?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious first reason is that it's a little bit easier league for the younger players to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they're starting to get touches in games at a high competitive level, I'm okay with that. And with the Charlie Davies, he went from Boston College to Sweden. He's got a couple of teammates that have followed him, actually. And he suggested it, saying he loved his experience and he's loved moving on from there.
Mm-hmm.
So
I could take a guess why. It's because those leagues, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, they're obviously not as competitive as Germany, France, Italy, but they're probably a level standard with MLS, but they pay better.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've also got on top of that those countries are very, very good countries to live in. I mean, I think Norway is the best standard of living
it is.
In the world. Yeah. I mean, so it's not like you're moving to some weird Eastern European country that you've never heard of.
Yeah, and they speak English, which I think is a really important point. It's like you may not be able to break into the Premiership or even the Championship in England, but you know Norway speak English makes it a little bit easier for sure.
I mean, just you know, real easy. It's you're already that you get your foot in the door in Europe. Mm-hmm. Then, if you're on a good Scandinavian team, you still can qualify for Champions League or the Europa Cup as it's now called, or Europa League. I don't know what it's called anymore. And you can qualify for those tournaments. Bigger clubs can see you, and you got your foot in the door. Teams don't have to travel across an ocean to see you. So, I mean, I think pretty obviously that's why you would go there.
I am puzzled by Germany, though, why so many American players go to Germany.
We conquered them once, so we just feel like it's easy. We conquered them twice, actually.
We just figured
it's easy to take over their league, I guess. That's
I just wonder if it's a heritage thing. Like, maybe
there are a fair amount of Germans.
Cassie Keller got German heritage? Or...
I don't know. Maybe it's just that it's other people have done it, and it's like once that road is paved, it makes it easier. Whereas you know, not a lot of guys are going to the Russian league, so maybe once a guy does, it makes it easier.
Off that point, not a lot of Americans go to Spain. Not a lot of Americans go to Italy. And you look at the leagues where they go now; they're going, like you said, to the Bundesliga or to England or to Scandinavia, and that's where the biggest concentration is. So I think that's right. Until you have an American who's successful in the Premier League or successful in Serie A, I think it's going to be very difficult for clubs to want to risk bringing a player over when you know they could go to Eastern Europe and get players to go.
So it sounds like we've complained about MLS and the current system, but really, we've got to recognize that. Without MLS, the development of American players would be just years behind what it is now.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
I would say in the last 20 years, that's been the biggest improvement in player development in America by far.
Well, as long as we continue to have teams named like DC United as opposed to like the Kansas City Wizards, then I'm fine with that. and I suppose on Daryl being positive, that's a good note to end on. So say goodbye, Josh.
Goodbye.
All right, say goodbye, Al.
Goodbye.
And Daryl, welcome back. Now say goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, and I'll say goodbye as well, and see you next week.